Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Health Talk Live. I'm your host, Mr. Shaheed. And we'd like to welcome our listening audience to another edition of our program. Your first time tuning in to Health Talk Live, we like to inform you that Health Talk Live is a show that was produced to give support for people who have underlying conditions, skin conditions such as eczema, psoriasis, and contact dermatitis. Exhale Shoes is also a show that's produced to give support to people who have problems with premature thinning of the hair. For more information about Exhale Shoes and all the fine after-day products, do visit our website at www.xcl-in.com. You go to our website and check out all our fine nectar-based products. Our nectar-based products for the control and management of excellent psoriasis, Excel, and so, as well as all our nectar-based products for the control and management of premature thinning or hair loss. As always, on Health Talk Live, I'd like to now bring in my host, Monica, and Gary, my co-host. Monica and Gary, good morning, and good morning to all our listeners at Health Talk Live.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Gary, are you there?
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You guys, I couldn't hardly hear you.
I know that music was jamming
like
so much
music,
in the background.
Right.
We couldn't
like,
hear you.
He was at the club, wasn't he? Hey.
I know.
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that. But anyway, in any event, good morning to you guys, and how are you guys doing? Another edition of Health Talk Live. As you well know, we normally deal with various topics, various on the program that we like to bring to our listening audience. And today we have a very interesting discussion. We want to talk a little bit about sugars and what effect that they can have on our bodies and in terms of our health and our overall well-being. Any early comments on this subject matter?
Well, this should be very interesting because I had an opportunity to kind of read over some of the discussion highlights, and I think people should get their pencils and papers out, pens and papers, because they're going to find it very interesting.
You got anything to say on that, Gary? It's not going to be an interesting subject for you? You don't like sugars? Gary, I think we lost Gary again.
I guess Gary's eating some sugar.
Gary, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. I was just having to change phones right quick. I decided to make sure I do my coffee early and go ahead and get my sugar in it just in case something comes up where I have to go and throw away my regular sugar and go out and do something else. So that's what I was doing.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, many people have believed for a long time that sugar is the main reason for obesity and diabetes, in the United States. I mean, this has been a long-held belief, Because of this, many nutritionists over the last 20 to 30 years have campaigned heavily for the use of sugar or low-calorie energy sweeteners in the American food industry. Hence, you have a lot of artificial sweeteners today that you see on the market. Always, it looks like every 2 years, a company is coming out with an artificial sweetener. However, recently the debate has resurfaced again. This is because of new analytical techniques and methods that were not available 30 years ago when this debate actually started. This is not a new debate. It's been going on for about 30 years, maybe even 35 years. And the new data begins to strongly suggest that maybe sugar is not the problem after all for obesity that's causing obesity or possibly the increase in diabetes. So today we will examine. Yeah, that's what the new research is basically stating, you know, or at least it's leaning in that direction, you know, that maybe it's not table sugar as many of us, you know, older Americans grew up on. So today we examine more closely exactly what is sugars, the need for sugars, and how they are used in our bodies, and the health effects of their consumption. So we're going to talk about today. So all this today on Health Talk Live and more.
Hey, this is Gary here from Health Talk Live, and got a couple of questions for you. Do you have hair that is thinning, breaking, or just falling out? If the answer is yes, then you need all-natural-based XL HGS. XL HGS has been scientifically developed to help people manage eczema and psoriasis of the scalp and for the control of thinning and slow-growing hair. Are you or someone you know coping with eczema, psoriasis, or dermatitis? Well, if that answer is yes, then you or they will need to get this XLSO. XLSO has been scientifically developed for the control and management of eczema, psoriasis, and dermatitis. For more information about these products and a long list of fine all-natural and organic products from XL Nutraceuticals, please visit their website. It is www.xcel-n.com. Again, that's www.xcel-n.com. And you can place your order there today.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Health Talk Live. I'm your host, MC Shaggy, along with my co-hosts, Gary and Monica. If you would like to call in sometime for today's discussion, please feel free to do so. Our call-in number is 347-202-0758. That's right, 347-202-0758. And always, check out our fine natural products at www.xcl-en.com. Or you can call us today at 1-800-977-3981. We're going to be talking sugars. What are they? Where can you get them? How are they made? And what are their health benefits for taking sugar and possible the disadvantages? All this Health Talk Live. Gary and Monica, you made a good point here about sugars early when we first came on the show. There's a lot on this subject matter, and you probably need to get out your pencil and paper, and you can write some of this down. You can check what we're saying here on Health Talk Live. Again, Health Talk Live is a project of Excel Pharmaceuticals. Excel Pharmaceuticals is a group of highly intelligent, motivated people, research scientists, business people, sales people who come together to start a business. So we value our work highly, and the information that you're going to receive is credible. Health Talk Live. So, you know, I'd like to start off today and just raise the question, and then we're going to come back to the question once we finish getting more information and getting into the subject on sugars. And the question is, what is wrong with common table sugar? Well, before we can answer that question, Monica and Gary, you have to first determine what is sugar or what is table sugar or what are sugars? What are sugars? Sugars are a class of edible crystalline hydrocarbon substances that have a common characteristic of sweet flavor when tasted. That's what they are. So that means they're more than one sugar, natural sugar. And let me step back here quickly. When we say hydrocarbon, for those who don't know, it means that a substance that's composed of carbon and hydrogen. Our bodies are composed of carbon and hydrogen as well, and other minerals and significant amount of water. So, you know, we all come from nature, and all these substances come from nature, but a hydrocarbon is anything that's composed of carbon and hydrogen, although this definition is really not exact because most hydrocarbons, well, I wouldn't say most, but I would say a significant amount of hydrocarbons found in nature also contain oxygen, and sugar does too. But from many, many years ago when this term was first developed by, you know, scientists or chemists or biologists, the term hydrocarbon has stuck. And so what we use it today, we still use it today, even though a hydrocarbon can contain oxygen. Okay, so natural known substances that fall into this class would be sucrose, maltose, and fructose. And we're going to explain Monica and Gary, exactly what are these sugars and how are they composed. We're going to get to all that in a minute. So, but if you have any questions, just feel free to pull my coattails.
Okay, did you say fructose or did you say fructose?
Fructose.
Okay, spell that for me.
Fructose. F-R-U-C-T-O-S-E. Fructose.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
When we talk about sugar in food, for the most part, we mean sucrose, commonly known as table sugar. Sucrose comes from sugar cane and, to a lesser degree, beet sugar. That's the sucrose that's used in commercial industry, mostly in the U.S., although in other parts of the world, much of the sugar comes from beets. But when I was growing up, Gary and Monica, I remember in elementary school, one of my teachers brought some sugar cane, to school, and that was my first exposure to sugar cane. And I remember biting into it. It's like a stalk, like a green stalk. At least the one I had was a green stalk. And inside the stalk was a cavity, like it was full of styrofoam. It looked like styrofoam. It had the texture of styrofoam, but it was soft like styrofoam, but it was more chewy. And when you bit into it, the juices came out, and it was so, so sweet. And that's sugar cane. And you can actually just pull the sugar cane right up from the ground, the stalk from the ground, cut it. That's what they did, cut it. And you just chew it. And, man, it's so, so sweet. It gives you a quick rush. It makes you feel like you just woke up from a great, great sleep. You guys ever had an experience with sugar cane? Eating natural sugar cane? Gary, Monica?
No, we went to our local grocery, got our sugar.
Yeah, I think I had the same experience. We didn't have the same teacher, I hope, but the teacher had brought some to school doing a science project, and yeah, I kind of remember it being more like straw, because you could tear it off, you know, and when you tear into it, it would like scan bite off or on it. You chew on it, it would kind of straw up, so you can just pull the little, I guess, leaves of it apart. But, yeah, it was very, very sweet, though.
Exactly. It's very, very sweet. That's sugar cane. That's where sucrose mostly comes from in the United States. Other sugars used in specific food productions like beverages, juices, jellies, pharmaceuticals, and medicinal products are glucose, fructose, and high fructose corn syrup. The acronym for that is HFCS. We're going to talk about this more in a minute. So that's where we are in terms of sugars. You know, there's a lot of other sugars you use. Again, glucose, fructose, high fructose corn syrup. Now, there's many types of sugar, classes of sugars, and we're not going to try to explain them. This program doesn't lend enough time for that serious discussion, but we can say there, suffice to say, Gary and Monica, there's sugars that are found in nature. They're classified as tetroses. Tetra means four. It simply means just four carbons in the sugar. That's all it means. Tetroses, pentoses, pent means five. So that means the sugar compound or the molecule has five carbons. And then hexoses, hex means six. It means that the sugar compound has six. And sucrose, glucose, and all these types of sugars fall in that category. So that's just the basic. That's sugar 101. I mean, we pretty much getting to the end. What you need to know about sugars. Well, identifying a sugar molecule is easy. If it's a natural sugar, it's always going to end in os. So if you see something that says sucrose, O-S-E, you know that's natural sugar. Fructose, O-S-E, glucose, maltose, galactose. But that's how you know you got basically a natural sugar. So if you read something that says natural sugars and you don't see that, if you see something other than another name, you know it's not a natural sugar. So that's basically what sugars are. But in order to really...
Okay, but we didn't mention the other one that's called fructose.
I did mention this.
No, fructose. Is there one called fructose?
No, it's fructose. No, it's the same thing. You just say it a different way.
Okay.
All right. Now let's classify sugar types. Then once we do the classification, then we'll be able to start to see how sugars are, and then we'll be able to say or be able to understand better whether or not this type of sugar material is better than this sugar material, or this sugar material is harmful, or maybe this sugar material may cause obesity. We'll be able to see clearly, after we classify them, how these sugar molecules relate. Okay, so let's classify them. In this type of chemistry, this type of food science, this is actually food science, there's a term called saccharide. Saccharide is used in organic chemistry. It's a basic term used to classify simple sugar compounds. So you'll see fructose or glucose or galactose, but you'll also see saccharide. And it's not as difficult to understand once you keep everything in the proper order. That's why we're going down this thing in a stepwise manner. In science, sugars are classified as monosaccharides, disaccharides, and oligosaccharides, and polysaccharides. You know, Shaheen, what's all? I can't understand this. Yes, you can. Watch this. Mono means one. Di means two. Oligo means more than two. And poly means a whole lot. That's the difference. So mono would be just one sugar, one simple sugar. Mono sugars are fructose, glucose, and galactose. Those are monosaccharides. These are monosaccharides. They're simple sugars, the simplest of the sugars. Disaccharides would be sucrose. Sucrose is a disaccharide. It's two sugars put together, okay? Maltose is two sugars put together. Now, this is very important because when we start explaining this, we're going to see why some people, Gary, say honey is better than table sugar, okay? Or this other sugar is better than table sugar, or maltose is better than table sugar. We're going to see the fallacy in that argument. Because once we get through here, we're going to actually see that they are one and the same. Okay? Oligo would be like fructose, oligosaccharide, and poly means a lot. Those are your starches. A starch like sugar, potatoes, rice, these are starches. They're nothing but a bunch of sugar molecules strung together. That's all they are. There's a bunch of sugar molecules piled on each other. So even starches are basically composed of sugars. They're just a whole lot of sugars, many of them linked together. They're just linked together. And that's why they're starchy. But in order for the body to use them, you're going to see they have to be broken back down into basic sugars. Okay, we talked about monosaccharides. Monosaccharides, let's get to this, are termed simple sugars, which glucose is the most important monosaccharide. Glucose is the most abundant sugar found in nature, in plants and animals, glucose. Glucose is the principal energy source in human beings and sometimes is referred as blood sugar. You've heard people talk about blood sugar. You go to the doctor, if a person has a heart attack or he's fainted from heat exhaustion, they put glucose in them, blood sugar. That's glucose, a fundamental simple sugar found in nature, but it's the sugar that feeds your cells. Without glucose, your cells will shut down, and then you would shut down. Fructose is the most abundant sugar molecule found in fruits. Monica was talking about earlier, like berries, figs, cherries, plums, and even honey. That's fructose. That's the sugar found in these fruits. Okay? Now, disaccharides make up two simple sugar molecules. Now, listen, here's the hook right here. Disaccharides, if we talk that sucrose was the disaccharide, it's table sugar, okay? What is table sugar composed of? It's composed of one fructose and one glucose. See how the trick made it? Nature just did a trick. Table sugar is the same sugar. It's one mole or one molecule or one simple sugar like you find in your berries. You go out there and you eat that berry, you eat that plum, and you digest it, or you go in and maybe you eat some kind of vegetable food stuff, it's fructose and glucose. Now, you know, if table sugar is just fructose and glucose, we've already said your body needs glucose. You need glucose. You can't live without it. And fructose, everybody brags about honey, how nutritious it is for you. Then what's wrong with table sugar? We're going to get to that. The thing is, registering, is this making any sense, Gary and Monica?
No, it's beginning to.
It's beginning. What about Gary? Just sinking in a little bit, I mean, about these sugars?
Yeah, the fructose and the mono gulp. Yeah, I'm getting it. I'm going to get to the part of, like, these cereals, Captain Crunch and all that with sugar in it, but I'm lighting down as we go.
Well, you can bring, they have sugar in it, but the point is that The question, remember, was what's wrong with table sugar and what are sugars? We're going through this. There are natural sugars. We're talking about the natural sugars in berries and plants. And we also talked, we said you can get sucrose. Remember, sucrose comes from a plant. It's natural. It comes from sugar cane. Comes grow right about the ground. So it's natural. You don't even have to process it. Although they do process it for other reasons, handling reasons. But you can take that sugar cane, if you want to, excuse me, and you can put it in a grinder or a mixer, get enough stalks, and you can squeeze all the sugar juices out you want, and you can sweeten all your food, and there's nothing wrong with that. The reason why we have crystalline white sugar is because the industry want to be able to store it, and it's difficult to store the liquids and move them around, you know, so it's about money. So they convert the liquid to a crystal. But that's another discussion. Uh-huh. Hopefully we'll, does that make sense?
Now it does.
Yeah,
it's kind of
a go ahead, I'm listening.
And it sounds like we're coming up to the part where some sugars become a problem. Because when you start talking about storing things, you have to put additives in them. Is that correct?
Well, the way they store it, the way they process it, no, you don't have to put additives. If you look at sugar, sugar has no additives in it. Remember, it's the fundamental simple molecule, simple substance. With something is simple, in other words, if you fall down flat on, if you're standing up and you fall down flat on the ground, I mean, there's nowhere else for you to go. You're flat on the ground. All thing you can do is get back up. That's the same way about chemistry and these different molecules, different compounds. If you get down to the simplest, you don't have to worry about it deteriorating. Where does that go? It's already at the simple as it can be. Now, you have to be careful. Some ants or some bugs might want to get in there and eat your sugar while you got it stored, you know. But you have to keep it protected from that. But as far as it's a simple molecule, it's stable. That's the beauty about all of this. A lot of these things, when you get down to them, they're stable, okay? So anyway, we've shown that sucrose is basically fructose and glucose. And these two simple sugars are attached by a bond. They're not separate. That's why you have to break them down, and we're going to talk about that in a minute when we get to this subject. Okay, the part of the talk. And then you have your complex sugars. We talked about the polysaccharides, which are the starches, which is amylose and amylopectin. These are starches that are found in foods like potatoes and rice. And what's some other starches, Monica? Potato, rice, corn maybe, right? Yes?
Bread. Is that bread?
Yeah.
Are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, base, not manufactured. I mean, there's corn, there's potatoes, there's rice. What else? What else, Gary?
I don't know. Sweet potatoes. Why do they call them sweet potatoes? That would be like a starch too, right?
Yeah, any potato is a starch. But in any event, these starches, they have sugars, but they're complex sugars, and they're very difficult to digest. But we can digest them. Well, we can mainly digest amylopectin. Some of the other starches kind of go through in a fibrous situation, but they can be digested, but they're very difficult to digest. But that's the skimmy on sugars. Now, in human beings, Monica and Gary, we talked about the sugar molecule. We talked about table sugar, sucrose, common. That's the white, sweet stuff on the table. When your body digests table sugar, it cannot use it in the form that it's used in. And the reason being, because the main energy source in the body is what? Glucose. And remember, the table sugar comes as fructose and glucose. It's connected together with a bond, chemical bond. So when you digest the food, the other sugar, and it goes in your body, the body breaks it down and releases the glucose from the fructose. Okay? And we're going to tell you in a minute what happens to the fructose. But when you, anytime you eat any foods, any sugar, any type sugar, I don't care what sugar that it is, period. Any sugar, any starch, before it can be absorbed into the bloodstream into the mucosa, which I want to get to the membrane, but let's just say into the bloodstream. Before it can get into the bloodstream, there's only three types of sugars the body will let pass, and that's glucose, fructose, and galactose. So all these synthetic sugars, you have to be questioning. They raise the question about them. If you understand the chemistry of sugars, they may be sweet, but for the most part, most of them have no energy gain. You might as well be just eating, drinking some. You might as well be eating some wood, a piece of wood that you sprinkle some sugar on. You might as well just take.
Well, how come when you have distance runners, they eat a lot of pasta before they go on a marathon because they want the carbs, which is a form of sugar, right?
That's right, but that's different. They eat a lot of starches. They eat a lot of spaghetti because remember
right.
They have the amylopectin in it, and it consists of not just one sugar molecule or two sugar molecules, but many sugar molecules. And so it's digested slowly, Monica, and because it's digested slowly, that means that they're going to be able to store a lot of energy for the long run. So that's why they do it. They want to store the energy because if you're eating a bunch of starches and a little sugar, your body's going to want to burn the sugar first before it burns the starches. Why? Because it's simple and it's direct energy source. So why should I burn this potato when I can burn this sugar? And this is one of the things about weight gain that people don't understand. They think because I'm taking a lot of sugar, I'm going to gain weight. But sugar is easy to burn. So the body is a very efficient engine, the most efficient engine on the planet that we know of. When you eat some food, the different foods, Gary and Monica, they have certain energy. Fats have the highest energy, believe it or not. They have 9 kilocal per mole energy, and I won't explain that today, but they have 9 energy moles. And then sugar or carbohydrates or proteins have 4. So now, if you're a man, if I tell you, Gary, you want me to give you $9, want me to give you $4 for this thing you're trying to sell to me. Which one are you going to take? You're going to take 9 or you're going to take 4?
I'm going to take the 9 unless I continue to listen to you. But you're going to explain why 4 is more important, right?
No, 4 is not more important. 9 is more important. $9 is better than $4. That's how your body, when you eat a food, your body says, how much energy can I get out of it? Originally, your body, if you eat a piece of fat, and it's cold outside, so you're getting ready to go to work, and you have some kind of meat for breakfast, it's fatty, and you have some carbs and some sweet, maybe some pancakes or whatever, some syrup, I don't know, whatever, something sweet. Maybe you eat some fruit, okay, you know, some plums or some cherries or a mixture thereof, and you go out and it's cold outside. Well, the first thing your body going to do for energy is going to grab that. It's going to say, well, he just had some fat. Gary just had some sugars. He had some protein. We're going to look at that fat and go, ooh, Lord, have mercy. And he's going to jump on that fat and burn that fat. Why? Because he get 9 energy calories out of it. Why going to burn the fat? Then he's going to look at the carbohydrates. He's going to see he has some fruits and sugar. Okay, well, he had this rice or these grits or whatever. I'm ready for them grits, man. I can hang them grits. He's going to start burning the fruit, and it's going to happen to the grits. It's going to get stored as fat. It's going to get stored as glycogen first, and if it's not used, it's going to eventually be converted into fat. That's how your body operates. Your body doesn't differentiate between which. Anytime it goes glucose that comes from the starch, by the time it gets digested in your gut, it looks like the same glucose that comes from the fruit. No difference. Body don't tell no difference. But it's the process of digestion where's the difference, Monica and Gary. If I got to burn, if I got to break down this starch, yeah, I got to break it down a little bit, but it's going to take me a long time to break it down to get that glucose. But I can get that fat, man, I can just burn that quickly, just as energy. I can get my energy from that later for the other stuff. And the sugars, I'll get that to give me pep, you know, glucose, blood sugar. I'll get that and I'll use that. The starches, that rice you had, those grits, guess where they're going? They're going on your hip. And that's the problem in managing weight. You have to know what you're eating if you're trying to manage your weight, and even more so if you're trying to lose weight. Is any of that making sense? Are you quiet?
Well,
I guess.
If you get the fat first, why is it that if you eat fat, it makes you fat? So you say
if you eat only fats, it will make you fat. But what I'm saying is if you eat a diet that's high in fat and a diet that's low in carbohydrates, and specifically even more so sugars, then most likely you're going to gain weight.
Okay.
Because remember, the fats, just because your body is burning fat and converting fat, your body is getting heat and stuff from fat. It's taking the fats and it's breaking them down into certain other molecules, okay, where it's getting derived in heat, water, and things driving like that. The sugar molecules, it's going to break down just what it needs to supply the energy for the cells, and that includes the starches. Then anything else is going to be stored. Once it gets the requirements that it needs, everything else is going to be stored. That's why you don't want to, even though the body can get energy from fat, the body uses the fat mainly for quick energy, like the sugars, because you can get more out of them. Although the fats are a little bit more difficult to metabolize than the simple sugars, the gain from energy. In other words, I got to walk 25 miles to get this $1 million. That's part of the deal. But look at the game. I'll walk the 25 to get a million. It's a little bit more difficult, but in the end, I'm going to get more out of it. So that's how the body, okay, yeah, I'm going to do a little bit more work, but in the end, I'm going to get more out. So it starts to burn them. But it just doesn't burn the fats at the discretion of the other carbohydrates and protein. It burns all of them. What I'm saying is it's a very systematic, it's like a big computer. The body's like a big computer. It manages everything to get the most out of something. Okay, and then whatever's left over, if it's not needed, it's stored. You know, proteins are stored in the body as amino acids and muscle tissue, you know. And then some of the sugars that are not used are eventually stored as glycogen in the storage system. And that glycogen is there for future use. It is converted back to glucose to feed the body. So when you're eating, you have to manage. You just can't go in and say, I'm not going to eat any fat, because you need some fat. And you just can't go in and say, I'm going to just eat a lot of carbs and not a lot of and proteins and things in your diet, because what's going to happen, you're going to wind up storing a lot of the carbs as fat. That's why you see a lot of young kids today under 25 who was not raised on table sugar, has been raised on these other sugars. We're going to get to this because we kind of get our subject a little bit here. But even though they drink diet sodas, why are they still fat? Even though they're eating sugar substitute, why are they still fat? That's because you can't trick your body. You're only tricking yourself. And the pharmaceutical companies knew that years ago. So they developed substitute sugar compounds that give you the taste of sugar. And, in fact, some of them, they claim to be even sweeter than sugar, although I tend to disagree and from my own personal taste. But they have no energy output. They basically just come in and go out. So if you grow up, if a child grew up eating a bunch of foods that have no energy output, either one or two things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to be a weakly child, a sickly child. Very, very bad, poor muscle tone, things like that, always getting sick. Or number two, because you don't get the energy requirements, your body is going to compel you to eat more. And so you're going to find yourself snacking, and next thing you know, you're going to have a fat kid. Does any of that make sense?
still exists.
Okay.
So really, your body's gonna want you, is gonna encourage you to eat because it's looking for a certain nutrient, and the kid's gonna snack more because your body is telling it to eat because it's looking for something.
That's right. Your body's gonna tell you to eat because the body is designed. It's the body, truthfully, is an involuntary muscle, meaning you're gonna do what it's gonna do in spite of what you don't want it to do because it's trying to survive. So it's going to force you to be always hungry. You're going to have certain foods. You're going, and sooner or later, you're going, ooh, I got to eat. You're going to grab that honey bun because you need something sweet. Not only that, you need some glucose. You've been eating that substitute sugar, drinking that Pepsi Zero, that Coca-Cola Free and all that kind of mess, and you drinking it for breakfast and you drinking it for lunch, and your body says, I need some glucose. So next you know, you reach over there and get that honey. You don't even think about it. Just go grab a honey bun. Next thing you eat, you feel so good. That honey bun tastes so good. Because that's what you needed. Now, I'm not saying you have to eat honey, but I'm saying you have to eat your regular balanced diet. Okay? But let's move on here. We talked about, we're not going to go through this, but if you look at the structure of all these simple sugars, glucose, galactose, fructose, you're going to see they almost look the same, Gary Monica. The only difference is how the atoms are arranged. And we won't go into that. That's a whole another subject, chemistry course. But what I want you guys to understand from this is that all these sugar molecules look the same. Glucose, fructose, galactose. So these are your simple sugars. These are the only sugars that once you get through digesting the cherry, the plum, the potato, the rice, the grits, the oats. Once you get through digesting all of these things, by the time these materials are being absorbed into your bloodstream, it ain't but three types of sugars. The body doesn't distinguish. It's going to break. I don't care how you put it in. It's going to break it down. So all this fallacy about, well, sucrose is bad because it's processed. No, it's not. Sucrose comes directly from the earth, unprocessed. The only reason why it's processed to form white sugar again is because of the economic and the business aspect of it. It's easy to store and move around. And really, before we go on and go to a break, true sugar, crystalline sugar, even when it's processed, is not even white. When you get the crystals, it's actually a light brown color. When you finally go through the process and get the crystalline sugar, it's a light brown color. But, you know, a lot of people don't like the brown color in it. They don't want the that's a little bit of molasses left in it and some other natural substance. So they go through a process and they basically bleach it. And they bleach it and they come out white. But really it's brown. That's where you get brown sugar from. The brown sugar is basically it's the molasses. A lot of the molasses has not been taken out of the sugar. That's another aspect of sugar refining. And a lot of molasses is not out, so the molasses is still in the sugar. That's why you ever notice why crystalline white sugar cane is crystal. You know, you can pour it out, and it's all crystal. And it's finely granulated crystals, whereas the brown sugar tends to stick together. When it comes in the pack, that's because it has a little bit of molasses in it, and they haven't removed the molasses. But it all comes from
sugar cane, is it?
Yes, you can get some molasses out of sugar cane. That's right.
Oh, okay.
And some of you that I used to go to the farm to my uncle's place, and they would use molasses to do their sweetening. You know, you don't have to use processed sugar or refined sugar to sweeten things. Back in the old days, they used to use different fruits and molasses to sweeten their pies and their cakes. I don't, you know, this was many, many years ago when I was growing up. But I do recall that, you know, and if you ever had molasses is really thick, but it's really, really sweet, really sweet too. But that's a part of sugar refining. We're going to take a quick break right here, gang. We're going to come back in a minute. And then we're going to talk more about sugars and what are they and what do they actually mean. So do stay tuned. Okay, welcome back to the show. This is Health Talk Live. I'm your host, MD Shaheed, along with Jerry and Monica. We've been having a detailed discussion about sugars, how they're composed, how they interact with the body, what sugars are good, what does sugar actually mean, what is the structure of sugar, how should we eat sugars in relationship to other foods. Health Talk Live, a project of XL Pharmaceuticals. For more information about XL Pharmaceuticals and all our fine natural-based products, do visit our website at www.xcel-n.com. Gary and Monica, I want to get back to this quickly. We only have about 10 minutes left in the show. You know, we talked about where does glucose go once it's in the body, and we came to the point where we know glucose is the main sugar molecule that the body uses for energy. But one of the things I want to mention here is that while this is going on, once the absorption process is taking place, the liver, the pancreas, and the adrenal glands play major roles in keeping blood sugar levels at normal concentrations. Okay, they help keep the blood sugar level by acting as a buffer. And the way they do this is that if you get too much sugar in your body, too much, and this is you eat a lot of sugars at a pace or at a rate that your body can't, you know, start burning and turning into energy or using as energy, then it's converted into glycogen. And the glycogen is then stored in the tissues for future demands that the body may have. The presence of the glucose in the body stimulates the pancreas to secrete a hormone called insulin. And a lot of talkers, you hear a lot of in the media a lot now, in newspapers, on the radio, and health magazines or whatnot about insulin. Insulin is the substance that helps transport the glucose into the cells. And the problem is that glucose is really a big molecule, Gary and Monica, and the cell has holes in it. The cell wall has holes in it, but the glucose is a little bit too big to fit. You know, it's kind of like trying to put a size 10 foot in a size 6 shoe. But the insulin attaches to it and modifies the structure and allows it to pass more readily through the cell membrane and into the cell. And then once it's in the cell, okay, then it detaches from the glucose, and then the body can now use it as energy. That's what insulin actually does, okay? In order for this to occur, though, there's a lot of other factors that go on. People that don't take good B vitamins, okay, that's a problem, and that's why they're always tired, you know, because they don't get enough B vitamins, because you need an ample number of B vitamins in your system, you know, to help in this transport process. Any questions on that right quick?
No, that makes sense.
That makes sense. And then there you can see why, you know, diabetics can have a problem sometimes with, you know, with insulin levels when they get a onset of what, sugar in the body, and they can have a problem because the insulin level, the hormone, gang, is not being secreted fast enough or efficient enough, and so consequently, they can't get rid of it. You see,
that's why the sugar is high. Often,
exactly.
I hear diabetics say my sugar is high. So, okay, that makes
exactly.
sense.
Because they can't get it down, okay? And see, so the pancreas and the liver and all these things that work together, they're not functioning properly to produce the necessary hormone. So that's why a lot of times you see people taking insulin shots and things like that. You had experience with people like this, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So let's get on to this. So we talked about this. So we talked about glucose, but what about fructose and galactose? You guys never asked this. Okay, you know, Shaheed, is fructose and galactose, you say these are the other simple sugars. How does the body use them? Well, I'll tell you how. What the body does to galactose and fructose, it converts them into glucose. So any does it make sense now? Everything goes back to glucose. Yeah, see how simple it is? So if you eating sugar, the fructose from the fruit, oh man, I eat the fructose from the honey, Oh, Gary, man, I get honey, man. You eating table sugar. But your fructose is going to be converted into the same thing that's in the table sugar, which is glucose. So now how is your honey biochemically better than my sugar? When at the end of the day, the fructose in the table sugar is going to be converted to glucose, which comes naturally in table sugar, and the fructose in the honey or the fruit is also going to be converted into glucose by the same damn reaction. And I'm saying it just like that. So now, what's the difference? I, you know, that's how this thing works. So it all end up, look, so we asked the question again. So what's wrong with common table sugar? Well, unless you have challenges with glucose and insulin, nothing. Nothing wrong with it. In fact, a recent study from Princeton that came out of this year suggested that the substitute for table sugar that's now in the industry, high fructose corn syrup, causes more significant weight gain than table sugar. Table sugar didn't seem to have any significant weight gain. We're going to go through this quickly. What, the reason why I brought this up, because you see now, if you look in sodas, you look in beverages, you look in a lot of drinks, you see high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup, Gary and Monica, is a sugar substitute material made from corn syrups that undergoes enzymatic processing to convert it into glucose and fructose to produce a desired sweetness. And they weren't satisfied with just having this table sugar. This was back before 1975. They wanted this fructose. And the reason why they wanted it is this. This is what happened. This is why we don't pick table sugar. It's always talked about nowadays. And, you know, people are cane sugar, blah, blah, blah. They don't know the history unless it was born before, you know, 1970. A system of sugar tariffs, sugar tars, and sugar quotas was imposed in 1977 by the United States that significantly increased the cost of imported sugar, so U.S. producers sought cheaper sources, because by the 70s, we were importing most of our sugar from overseas. High fructose corn syrup derived from corn became more attractive because the domestic U.S. Canadian prices of sugar were twice the global price of sugar at this time. The U.S. government, in turn, wanted to keep the price of corn low through government subsidies that they paid the farmers. So what they was basically doing, they raised the price on imported sugar more than double. Then they gave the farmers money to grow corn to produce the corn starch to make the HC, the high fructose corn syrup that they now use to sweeten all these foods. But a recent study has come out and says over the last 30 years, there have been a significant gain or increase in obesity in the American general public since the introduction of these artificial or these substituted sweeteners. Does that make any sense?
Okay.
Yeah,
sure
yeah,
does.
Kind of.
Okay.
That's what I was wondering, you know, like the Splendas and the Sweet and Low and, you know, are those artificial sweeteners, I'm sure, right?
Those artificial sweeteners, Gary and Monica, we're running out of time on it. We're going to deal with this another time on the show. But they are artificial sweeteners, and, you know, it raises the questions about whether or not these materials can it be assumed to be really sweeteners at all, and because they really have no energy effect or anything like that, and in terms of what the body could actually use from get from them. So that's the situation with.